Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Tulsa Opera concludes its season with Camille Saint-Saëns' French Grand Opera spectacle Samson and Delilah tonight and Sunday afternoon at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center's Chapman Music Hall. As the final maiden stage opera production of artistic director Kostis Protopapas' tenure, he's assembled a cast of singers very familiar to Tulsa Opera audiences. Frank Porretta portrays Samson. Dana Beth Miller sings Delilah. Peter Lindskog is the high priest, but the production also features one of opera's greatest stars as the old Hebrew, a very small bass role. Bass baritone Samuel Ramey was a Tulsa Opera regular in the 1980s, but his last appearance was in 1987 in a star-studded cast of Verdi's Don Carlo. By that time, Ramey was acclaimed as the best bass baritone of his generation, singing at every major opera house in the world, from the Teatro Colón in Buenos Aires to La Scala and, of course, the Met. Ramey holds the distinction of being the world's most recorded bass singer in history, with over 80 recordings of operas, solo recordings, and vocal recitals. Interestingly, the only time he has sung the role he'll perform this weekend with Tulsa Opera was a 1993 recording with Plácido Domingo and the opera Bastille. You can hear Ramey, who now teaches a voice at Wichita State University, his alma mater. He's returned full circle in Tulsa Opera's production of Samson and Delilah tonight and Sunday. And I'm very pleased to have Samuel Ramey as my guest today on Studio Tulsa. Samuel Ramey, welcome back to Tulsa after 30-something years. 29, exactly. and you're closing out the season with the Saint-Saëns' Samson and Delilah. Do you remember much about that production from 1987? Because that was probably Tulsa Opera's most star-studded production, I think, over the history.
A couple of the productions I did here were, you know, I did Faust the year before, which also really a top-notch cast. And
Jerome Hines was singing.
Yeah, Jerome.
Probably the role you do if you ever do it these days.
Yeah, I have been doing that role, yeah.
Yeah, the high priest.
Yeah.
The high inquisitor,
Grand Inquisitor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember it very well. Yeah, wonderful group of singers: Ros Plowright, outstanding British soprano, and Tatiana Troyanos, and like Jerry Hines, like you said. Yeah, it was a great production.
Yeah. Now I know you've slowed down in the number of operas you do these days.
Oh yeah, quite a bit.
and in just the last couple of seasons, I think I read that you said you know you're going to really slow down on that. What made you decide to do the Samson and Delilah?
Well, Kostis called me and said, we know you have, you know, of this wonderful history with the Tulsa Opera. And he said, I'm doing my last production here, and Samson and Delilah. And we just wondered if you'd like, there's this wonderful part, the old Hebrew, which is sort of a cameo part, but it's usually done by, somebody who can still sing a little bit. so yeah, I thought, that's great, you know. And plus I recorded the part 20-some years ago. And
that's right, with the Bastille opera.
With the Bastille, yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. We actually have that recording. We might play a little bit of that.
Okay.
I guess that's a role you've done over the years?
Often. No, I've never done it. It's a role debut.
Really?
Yeah, I'm still making role debuts.
That's pretty amazing.
It's strange because Samson and Delilah has just not done that much. I think over the course of my career, I can only recall one time being in a theater someplace where they were doing the opera. I was at Covent Garden when I don't remember what I was singing. At Covent Garden in London, and they were doing a production of it then. And I remember sitting in the canteen one day, and in walked John Vickers and Shirley Verrett. So.
Now, is that because it's such a huge grand opera spectacle? I mean, it's...
I guess, yeah, because it's a very demanding opera. I mean, the three leading parts are very demanding parts, and you also have a lot of ballet, of course. French opera. It's going to be ballet, and it's orchestrally. It's just an incredible piece. It's very symphonic, and just I think not a easy piece to put together to mount.
You know, in Saint-Saëns, a lot of times in its stately music, the lines are really, really long. I was just noticing that. Even in your first big number, the sort of hymn song, the old Hebrew is the character name,
right.
I guess. you're welcoming Samson back after a great victory against the Philistines, and and the line is, it's a long line.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful,
it's
stately,
a beautiful, yeah, very short, beautiful, beautiful part. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to sing.
Now, so have you revisited that since that recording, which was a big recording in, what is it, 1990?
Early 90s, sometime, yeah. 92, 93.
I think Domingo was involved with it.
Placido Domingo and Valtraud Meyer.
Have you revisited the score since then?
No.
Really?
I haven't. I mean, just haven't. All during that time, I was, very busy, and...
singing lead roles.
Yeah, I just didn't look at things that weren't on my horizon, So, but I'm thrilled that this came around and Kostis saw fit to invite me down again. So.
When you look at a part like this, what do you look at first?
I think the first thing I do is I look through and just look at the range, what it's going to involve in singing, and that's usually the first thing I look at, and the text, how difficult the text is going to be. But, in this case, it's a very beautiful legato singing, and it's, range-wise, it's not demanding, and linguistically, it's not very demanding. So it's a fun, nice part.
When you're doing these sort of cameo, as you mentioned, you called it a cameo.
Right.
It's a small part, but, I think I was reading that Penza sang it.
In opera houses, it's usually done by, a leading singer. I think the Met, Giorgio Tozzi, used to do it as well, and I wouldn't be surprised if Jerome Hines didn't do it at some point.
So when you're doing these sort of character roles, you've done so many leading roles over the years. What is your thought process of doing these little character roles? You've always been a great actor.
Yeah.
That's always been lauded about your performances, that you were a great singer, but you were also a wonderful actor.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So your approach to these little character roles?
Well, just, looking for, ways where you can make an impact of some kind, if it's a small part, trying to pick out things that can be, that you can bring something special to,
What are you doing for this particular role?
Nothing really. Because
you just come out and sing.
Because it's just it's really just a come out, stand and sing, some beautiful music, and he also has sings a nice trio with the Samson and Delilah, and
you try to keep Samson from going after Delilah with no effect whatsoever.
Exactly. I actually, the first time when I first came to rehearsal, I went up to Frank Porretta, right. And because we had done some years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, we did Turandot at the Met together, and it was the same thing. I was his father trying to keep him away from Turandot. So I said, here I am again, trying to keep you away from a seductive woman, and you don't listen.
Well, why don't we hear a little bit of that old recording that you did? This is the hymn that your first moment as you're singing extolling the virtues of Samson and his victory over the Philistines. Let's hear a little bit of that music now.
Okay. Thank you.
That's my guest today, Samuel Ramey, internationally renowned bass who's singing the role of Old Hebrew in Tulsa Opera's production of Camille Saint-Saëns' Samson and Delilah tonight and Sunday at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center's Chapman Music Hall. Well, you've had this amazing career and sung in virtually every major house over the years, probably sung every role you ever wanted to sing. Is there any one that got away?
Practically. There were a few along the way that I hoped I would have the opportunity to sing that I never did, but the one that always comes to mind when I'm asked this question is the bass part in Verdi's Ernani.
Yeah, which doesn't get performed all that much.
Yeah, exactly. I never had the opportunity to do it. I always hoped I would because I loved especially the early Verdi operas. I always enjoyed the ones that I performed, and that's just one I missed.
Yeah. And you said this relationship with Tulsa Opera, and in my memory, I only remember just a couple of roles in the 80s, I guess. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the Faust and then the Don Carlo. Did you sing more?
Yeah, the first time I came here was to do I Puritani with Beverly Sills. Uh-huh. It was supposed to have been Anna Bolena, Donizetti's Anna Bolena. I was supposed to, to do Henry VIII to Beverly's Anna, but she decided that she couldn't sing that anymore, and so she... I remember her coming up to me. We were both still at City Opera, and she came up to me one day and said, "Sam, we have this Anna Bolena in Tulsa." And she said, "I really just don't think I can sing that anymore." And I said, "Would you mind if we switch to I Puritani?" And I said, "Oh, that's fine. That's nice bass part in I Puritani as well." And so I did that. And then the next thing I did was a production of Barbara of Seville. I did Basilio and Barbara of Seville, mm-hmm. and then the Faust, and then the Don Carlo.
Did you enjoy coming back to Tulsa because it's so close to sort of home, Wichita and Kansas?
Yeah, I always did. I had family that came whenever I sang here. So I had family that lived not too far from down in Texas, not mm-hmm. too far away, so they would come up to see performances, and it was always nice coming here.
During the course of your career, opera got really, really hot. And now, it's still a very popular art form, but it doesn't have that hotness it seemed to have in the 90s. And when, every time you turned around, there was somebody writing a new opera, and companies were taking risk by performing those new operas. What was that like during that particular time? Were you involved much with that?
I wasn't involved too much in a new opera. In fact, I was the only time I was ever cast in an opera that was going to be new, and I ended up not getting sick and not able to do it was an opera by Carlisle Floyd called Bilby's Doll, which was done in Houston sometime in the mid-70s. Mm-hmm. And that's the only time I was ever I ever was contracted to do a new opera.
Was that because you felt like the great 19th century material was more in your wheelhouse, or was it just there's not really great bass roles for a lot of those operas? It's mainly tenor.
Well, no, I would have been more than happy to take part in a premiere. I just was, I just never was. The situation never presented itself to me. I remember a composer came up to me probably 15 years ago and said, I know it was Mark Adamo. He wrote Little Women. Mm-hmm. And he was thinking of doing an opera at the time based on Elmer Gantry. I think somebody else did.
Yeah.
At some point. But it was done here, I think.
Yes, it was. Yeah. I'm trying to remember.
But the Mark Adamo was thinking of doing an Elmer Gantry and was interested in my doing the title part. And we talked about it, but it just never came to fruition.
Well, of course, in the roles that you did do an awful lot were devil roles.
Yes, I was the bad guy quite a while.
Do a lot of Scarpias?
I did, quite a few Scarpias. That came later.
Later.
But I did it, quite a bit in the last 10 years of my career. I did it quite a bit.
Did you enjoy playing the villain?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I always said bad guys have more fun, in opera is true.
Yeah.
I always thought they were more interesting dramatically, I always look for drama challenges in opera. Those roles just were, I think, in that way, were real gifts,
My guest today is Samuel Raimi, internationally renowned bass, who is singing the role of the old Hebrew in Tulsa Opera's production of Camille Saint-Saëns' Samson and Delilah, which takes place tonight and again Sunday at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center's Chapman Music Hall. He's our guest today on Studio Tulsa, who sang in all the great houses. Now you're teaching at Wichita State University, which is where you went to school.
Where I went to school.
And I think you were telling me beforehand, it says, you know, my first experience with Tulsa Opera was getting in the car in Wichita and driving down and going to the productions.
Back in the 60s, we used to, a group of us students up in Wichita, we came down quite a bit to the productions here. I remember seeing, of course, the one that stands out in my mind was, I remember seeing Faust here with the great Norman Traigle as Mephistopheles, and made a great impression on me.
Yeah. Now, what led you to go back to have you taught on and off throughout your career, or not really?
Not really. I mean, you know, occasionally when I was places, I'd always have young singers would want, you know, just would like ask me if they could sing for me and just to get some input, you know. So I would do that, and occasional master classes and things. But I don't know. I just at one point. I don't remember when it was, 4 or 5 years ago, Wichita State contacted me and asked me if I'd, you know, like to do a little teaching, and they made an arrangement for me. I was still, you know, I was still fairly busy singing at the time, and
so you come down for a couple of weeks, like a fellowship.
Yeah,
or some sort.
I'd come down, you know, for like 2-3 weeks, a couple of times each semester, and work with some of the singers. And And after a couple of years of doing that, they asked me, well, would you be interested in, you know, coming down here full time and doing this, you know, more? And I thought, you know, yeah, why not? So, because I was enjoying it. I like Wichita, and I've come full circle. As a matter of fact, one of the first years I was there, they did Carlisle Floyd's Susanna with the university, and so they asked me to get the... They only had one bass, so they asked me if I would do some of the performances of Blitch, which is also one of my favorite parts. And so I did, and I was sitting in. I remember sitting in the hall during a rehearsal one day. This was in 2013, and I was sitting there, and I said, "This is 2013." I said, "It's almost exactly 50 years ago that I did my very first opera role on this very stage." So
what is that like? Must be a weird feeling.
Yeah, it really kind of was.
Well, have you found that you have enjoyed teaching on a full-time
basis? Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I like working with this. I don't teach voice as such. I just work with graduate students. I help them more as a coach, not as a voice teacher. You know, I help them with language and whatever repertoire they're working on. I help with it, and I also help with the opera productions, the opera department.
Now, I would think people say, well, you're just this incredible voice. Of course you would want to be their voice teacher, but is it a special skill in being able to teach young singers how to sing properly?
Yeah, I think it probably is. I think I could probably learn to do it.
Now, were you a singer that sort of went back for coaching fairly regularly in your career?
Oh, yeah. I've worked with my same teacher.
I think that would be surprising to most people who don't know the world of opera closely, is they would think you learn the things and you just take care of yourself.
Yeah. Some singers work that way, you know, that once their career has got on the roll, you know, they just didn't bother with a teacher anymore. But I don't know, I never felt that secure, that I didn't always need, you know. I mean, to me, it was, you know, going back, it's kind of like, you know, taking your car in for a 50,000-mile checkup or whatever, you know.
Were you singing,
in my case, 100,000 miles.
were you checking out your mechanics, or was it more of...
Yeah, just, you know, just...
Making sure you're singing correctly.
Making sure that you're not, you know, bad habits haven't creeped in, you know, and... So yeah, I'd always go back to my teacher.
What were some of the most valuable pieces of advice that those teachers gave you, as far as, you know, making sure you're singing correctly and keeping the bad habits out?
Yeah, just making sure you're, like you said, singing correctly and not overdoing it, not pushing your voice. And
have you found that the things they were telling you, you end up telling them occasionally?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah. My guest today is Samuel Raimi, who is portraying the old Hebrew in Tulsa Opera's production of Camille Saint-Saëns' Samson and Delilah tonight and Sunday at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center's Chapman Music Hall. Wonderful, wonderful voice. In fact, let's hear a little more music. This is from that that recording you made probably 14, 15 years ago where you
20,
took...
20, yeah. It was 93. Actually, so
no, I was going to say, the devil.
Sorry.
Yeah, no. this you made this around 2000, I think, somewhere around in there.
Okay.
Yeah, and let's hear a little bit of Boito's Mephistopheles. Okay. One of the great numbers from that. Here's our guest, Samuel Raimi.
Creator, voglio nulla ed è creato la ruina universal e atmosfera mia vital, e atmosfera mia vital, e atmosfera mia vital, ciò che chiamo sì. Ciò che chiamasi peccato, ciò che chiamasi peccato, ciò che chiamasi peccato. Morte rifino e abito questa sera.
That's music by my guest today, Samuel Raimi, who will be portraying the old Hebrew in Saint-Saëns' Samson and Delilah tonight and Sunday at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center's Chapman Music Hall. Returning to Tulsa now just shy of 30 years. It was 29 years ago that you ended Ed Purington's reign at Tulsa Opera with that great Don Carlo. And now a wonderful Saint-Saëns cast doing Samson and Delilah in Costis Protopapas' his tenure
ending,
at Tulsa Opera.
His tenure, yeah.
Yeah. Can you give us some insights on about this particular production? This is your first Samson and Delilah, I guess. What is your thought of the whole process and the actual piece?
Well, I mean, I think it's fantastic. I mean, the chorus has an amazing amount of work to do, and this it's a big, a very big choral opera, and the Tulsa Opera Chorus and is doing a fantastic job, and. And the production itself is, I find, very beautiful. It's very what you would expect. It's a very traditional Samson and Delilah production, which, you know, I'm a traditionalist. You know, I like traditional production. So it's very beautiful. A stunning production.
I have seen a little clip from the opera at the end when Samson, as I'm not giving anything away, when he pushes the columns out.
Right.
It's quite spectacular.
Quite spectacular, yeah. I saw that for the first time last night. A couple nights ago at our dress rehearsal.
Yeah. I guess it's that typical spectacle sort of grand opera, great costumes. You have dancers. We do have dance in the piece.
Typical French grand opera.
Well, we wish you great success with your continuing teaching. And let's hope we see you back here soon again to do another character role.
Well, it'd be nice, I still sing, you know, a bit. You know, every once in a while somebody like Costis did, you know. Mm-hmm. Somebody would call me up and throw me a bone to sing, you know.
you've seen an awful lot. How has opera changed from the time you broke in the 70s to today? Has much changed about the business? I would think it has.
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest change is when I first came up, you know, you saw productions that were, like I said, pretty traditional. And I think the biggest change is now with a lot of more avant-garde stage productions. You know, I think that's probably the biggest change.
And, of course, there was also a movement, I think, where probably when you came up, there would be stage action, but it wouldn't be necessarily, it would be singing stage action as opposed to acting stage action.
Right.
And there was this movement where, you know, directors were putting singers in god awful positions trying to sing because it was natural.
Right, exactly.
You mentioned you're a traditionalist. Was there ever a time when you just said, boy, this is just not working for me because of the modern version of the staging of the story?
Well, yeah, I was, I don't know whether I should say lucky. I guess that's what I would use. I was lucky in that I never was involved in a production that was, you know, so over the top that it was objectionable. I mean, I've a few that were somewhat, you know,
contemporary-esque.
Yeah, like yeah. I remember doing a production of Verdi's Nabucco someplace, and it was a very updated production. And I wasn't real happy, but it wasn't that bad, you know. It was more the costuming than anything else that was, because it was just set in a very updated, you know.
So you're wearing a suit?
I was wearing a suit, yeah, suit and tie.
Now, you've sung vocal recitals. That's probably no different. But is there something about having the costume that sort of makes you feel like?
Yeah, like I said, I'm a real traditionalist. I think that, especially when you're dealing with historical characters, that you should be dressed the way they dressed in that time. I don't, you know, I'm a real, I guess, a stick in the mud that way, I suppose. I remember once having a conversation with a singer friend of mine and her fiancé, and her fiancé was a young stage director. He wanted to be a stage director. And I remember having this conversation, and I just made a statement, something to the effect of that I didn't think an opera should be staged in a period of time that was beyond the life of the composer. Well, I thought at this young director, I thought was gonna. His reaction was, I thought he was gonna pass out. He didn't really agree with that.
Well,
but I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah. No. When we're talking about the differences in opera, one of the things that's happened is, you know, I think I read once where you said, you know, we have to be a lot more photogenic than we used to.
This is true, yeah.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing, you think?
I don't know whether I would
say. You were always photogenic, so it was never a problem.
I never had issues. But, you know, if they were going to go to that extent, you know, I think they would be, you know, missing out on some, you know, pretty great voices. So,
yeah. Well, again, sounds like the cast is having a good time and everything's coming together.
Yeah,
I imagine it'll be a little bittersweet. Costis is, you know, not only he's he's the conductor as well as the director of the opera, and it will be a bittersweet moment for us.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And we hope that you really break our leg for this performance and just have a great time and. Everybody's looking forward to it. Samson and Delilah takes place tonight and Sunday at the Chapman Music Hall. Samuel Ramey, it's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
International opera star Samuel Ramey speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. He'll be portraying the role of the old Hebrew in Tulsa Opera's production of Camille Saint-Saëns' Samson and Delilah tonight and Sunday at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center's Chapman Music Hall. For ticket information, visit TulsaOpera.com. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher.